Oh, you're giving us theme music.
Hey everybody, welcome to the NDL podcast. Now I just realized we were live. Just
As you're
started.
humming a theme song for all of
Yeah,
us.
well, no, I knew we were live. I just started it and was like, oh, I'll wait for people to get in, and then I'm like, wait, people are going to hear this on the podcast, so we should probably get started. I just put it out in the live chat that we are live for the CFP reveal. I do have a pretty good overlay today that we can use on the stream, so I'm actually excited about that. We'll let the room fill up a little bit. I don't think we are, I don't think we have many people in. I think we have like three people watching right now. But
One of them's
Jason,
me.
yeah, one of them's me too. So that means there's one person currently on the show. But Jason, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Just got a massive win and secured day one draft status for next season, so I'm very happy right now.
Yeah. Exciting news for you. I am not doing the same. I have lost, and I said this a couple days ago or like a couple weeks ago. I said I'm 7-1. There is a realistic opportunity and chance that I lose my last four games because they're really difficult, and I have lost all of them in very crushing fashion. So it was fun while it lasted. I'm excited for you. You got a chance to hit your win goal. Big rivalry win, obviously, just now. And the Big 12 conference is really going to come down to some interesting scenarios and tiebreakers these last couple of games.
Well, won't hit my win goal, but thankfully with contract goals and things like that, I'll still get there. But yeah, huge game this weekend. Sorry, I'm not trying to talk about myself here. Huge, but a huge game that sometime this week between myself and UCF that if I were to somehow win, which I seriously don't think I'm going to, but if I were to somehow win, it sets up some interesting tiebreak scenarios, I think. Because I believe Kansas State still has one more game in conference. That might be the Iowa State game, though. And if it is, it's going to be a win because Iowa State's coach is on a long-term absence, and it is. So I take that back. So if I were to somehow beat UCF, then we have a tiebreaker between UCF and Kansas State. If I somehow beat UCF, then Kansas State and Colorado both make the Big 12 title game. And then you'd have potentially four teams sitting with two losses all in that third spot. So fortunately it's only three teams left, two of which or one of which has already locked up a spot, but there's still a little bit of drama to come down the stretch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Shout out to Texan Ole, Kansas State. I just want to clear the air. In the live chat yesterday, I promise I was saying that Texan Ole and Bierkop are much, much improved players, and I misread a message that Wobble sent that they weren't improved players, but I was saying that they were improved players, and obviously shout out to Texan Ole. A player that I played early in season 29, and I believe also in season 30. Now he was Tulsa, so it wasn't like he had a very good team, but I dominated. I played him really well and beat him pretty good both times. But he has put in the hours and the work, and man, to see him on the verge of a potential CFP bid is pretty awesome because he deserves it, and he's a much, much better player than I am now. So that's cool to see the improvement just over the course of two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys I think that have started to kind of get their bearings, season two and season three from the older person group, myself being part of that group. When you have a layoff as long as you did and you don't play Madden, it's kind of difficult to get back into the game and compete with some of these guys that are younger and have been doing the Madden thing for the last 4, 5, 6 years, because it's a very similar game. And like there are still things that I don't understand, but there are a lot of guys who sit down and work with you. I know Vegas has helped guys, Lick has helped guys. Rain gave me some pointers recently. There's a lot of guys in this league that if you seek them out, they will help you improve in your game. And you know, kudos to a lot of guys that I've watched and faced this season that have made leaps and bounds from where they were last year. You know, the BYU coach I just played, Bruce Bagel, is a prime example. He's 3-7. if he had a better team, he'd be one of those guys competing for a title. Houston's coach is the same way. He's 2-6. He's very, very good with that team. It's just unfortunately they let him down defensively. But there are a lot of really good players in this league that don't necessarily get the credit that they deserve for various different reasons.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch the maturation of players and people in this league. You know, I kind of, you know, again, I know we talk about ourselves a little too much sometimes, but myself, I feel like I am a much improved player than I was the first season, but unfortunately the record just doesn't show. And that's okay because I'm just having fun, man. I'm playing with a team that I really enjoy. I know I got the live chat started the other night with the Heisman versus AA debate. And I'll clarify that as well. And we'll dive into the CFP rankings as the room starts to fill up, I promise. But I was just super frustrated at the defensive AI of my players who are like 90, 87, 88 type players. Just like doesn't compute, like it doesn't react. And there was just times where it was like, why is my guy running right past his ball carrier when he should be tackling him? And I just think that Heisman would fix that. Now I've been told I'm wrong. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone, you know, I've seen a lot of conflicting opinions, and we're not even going to get into the Heisman and AA thing. That's something we'll figure out long-term as a league. But no, I'm having fun. And I hope a lot of guys are too, as we finish the season strong, and all signs do point to a season 4 in this league, in this game. So yeah, it'll give us a whole nother few months to continue to improve until the next game comes out.
Yeah. I have my thoughts on the whole AA versus Heisman. I'm staunchly in the AA camp just because I remember when we first started and we'd have games with 15 interceptions if you didn't have a top-notch team. But you know, that's a decision that'll have to be made by the people that run the league. And, you know, I trust Nidler and Shell and those guys to make the best decision for the whole of the league. There are pros and cons to both sides. But we've got to figure out what's best for, you know, the whole of the league. And it's one of those things that maybe the next game is fine tuned a bit better and right, we can get there.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, let's get into the CFP. I have a pretty graphic for you guys that homie taught me how to create and make. So no more zoom in on a small bracket and trying to figure things out. We'll go right through it. I will note that there is a 16th team in here. We do not rank 16 teams, but that 16 is the group of five conference champion spot. So I'll pull up the bracket as well as we go through this, but I'll get us started here and start with our number one team in the CFP ranking. Is a little bit of a change. We have the Oklahoma Sooners coming in at number one. Now, bear in mind, this ranking came out Sunday and did not account for any new games in Block 7 that have been played. So you do see Oklahoma with the one loss. You would have to assume that LSU is probably replacing them because they're the team who beat them. But Jason, aside from that result, are you, I guess, surprised to see Oklahoma jump into number one over Colorado at number two?
No. You know, I think part of that is, God, people are going to be like, stop talking about yourself. I think part of that is going to be his game against me. Last week, I saw some people saying that he's the most vulnerable of the undefeated teams, which I don't know if that's the case. And I don't know that you can really take that from our game, seeing as I got a kick return touchdown and a scoop and score touchdown, and he still won. I think he's still a very good coach. But if you look at resumes, you look at who they've had to play, Oklahoma has clearly played the tougher schedule of the two. He's by far the best player in the league. You know, history has proven that he's a top-notch coach. And I think until somebody dethrones him, he's number one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the loss is probably going to knock him into a different scenario. I'm going to have to look at how the conference shakes out. He may still have a chance to get that first round bye.
It's been a long day. It's been a very long day. Yeah. I completely forgot about the LSU game. But yeah, that'll obviously knock him down. But like you said, with results from this weekend not being included, I have no problem with him at number one.
Agreed. So we'll go into number two. I mentioned it already. It is Colorado, who is now 11-0. Again, no surprise from number one to number two. We'll probably move up to number one, or you may see LSU slide into the one spot, taking over for the SEC. We'll move on to number three here already. You got the Clemson Tigers coming in at number three. I'm surprised to not see Oregon here. I know 3 and 4, it's not really a huge difference, but I thought Oregon would maybe make that jump with Clemson having a couple of close games here recently. You would think maybe Oregon, their body of work looks a little bit better, but any surprises with Clemson here at number 3, Jason?
No, and the reason why I say that is if you look at strength of schedule and you look at Massey, Clemson actually State win, and they have the win over Wisconsin, but like you or yourself, but like you said earlier, you've kind of slid a bit, and I think that loss has lost some of its cachet. Has lost some of its cachet.
Sorry, I was on mute on the teams. I don't have a huge gripe here. I do think Oregon's probably just a little bit better based on what I've seen. Doesn't really turn the ball over a ton. There are some games where it can catch them a little bit, but we'll move right along. I mean, obviously the number 14
I will here. Say real quick. I was going to say real quick. If you look at the teams Clemson's faced, there's some sneaky, Massey teams. Minnesota's 25th. Wake Forest is 26th. Virginia Tech's 23rd. They've still got the game with South Carolina. So, I mean, there may not be numbers in front of some of these teams that they're beating, but they're beating a fair number of teams that are kind of on that fringe.
Yeah, I think with the ACC being a little more down than it has been in the past, I think there's like a clear cut 4 top teams in the ACC. Whereas in the Big Ten, you could kind of argue the same, but I think the Big Ten goes a little bit deeper. I think the Big Ten goes really down to 7 really quality teams. And him to come out 12-0, I know, again, 2 of those results are not factored into this. But, I think we'll see some things shift here. We'll go to the number 5 team in the ranking, the Georgia Bulldogs. I guess that's another team that could really argue they deserve to be the number 1 team with Oklahoma losing going into the next CFP reveal.
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing for me, and I'm sure we'll unveil them here shortly, but LSU undefeated on the season with a win over Oklahoma. Does that get them the nod over Georgia? Because Georgia's 10-0, but LSU's played the tougher schedule when you look at the two teams. So getting the win over Oklahoma is one of those games that, Georgia can't replicate on their schedule or their resume. Georgia obviously has wins over Texas. They got wins over Florida. They got wins over Tennessee. But there is something to that win over Oklahoma. Now, that said, we're most likely going to see the two of them play in the SEC championship. So we're going to get it settled on the field.
Yep. No argument there. On to number 6, LSU. Again, no surprise. We have talked about them quite a bit here. Would not be surprised to see them in the 5th spot, obviously, or even the number 1 spot potentially, or just in general in that first round of buys in the SEC. That stuff will all play itself out. I'll move on to number 7. You have Louisville Cardinals coming in at 10-1. Obviously having a great year, 1 loss to Clemson. No issues with them in this spot as well.
No, I mean, Louisville's had a great season again. The only loss is to Clemson. I have no argument with where they're at currently.
Continue down the list. We'll go to number 8. You have the UCF Knights. I think, they have a couple big games coming up, wrapping up their schedule. They play Utah. They play, there's one other big one here. I think, I'll have to look at the schedule. I can't pull off my screen right now. But they have a couple big matchups. They take care of business and sit at 11-1. They actually might find themselves on the outside looking in terms of the conference championship. But Jason, could that actually benefit them to not play in the conference championship, meaning they would almost have a spot locked up?
I think so, because their 2 losses would be to Colorado and to myself at that point, which I am ranked. So when you're only 2 defeats or 2 ranked teams. Now the question becomes, without having necessarily a marquee win, would they still be able to sneak in over some of these 1-loss, 2-loss SEC or Big 12 or Big, or I'm sorry, SEC or Big 10 teams?
Yeah, I think they've put themselves in a good spot that even if they were to go 11-1, I don't know the tiebreaker scenario if Kansas State would have an opportunity to play if they were to go 1 loss in the conference and UCF
no,
was
I believe,
also 1 loss.
I believe UCF wins the tiebreaker based on some discussions earlier today.
Okay, so yeah, that kind of irons itself out. And then you'll have the number nine team here, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, a team that I think we don't talk about enough and that we kind of forget about from time to time. I got to play Rain in the Cup last week, or a couple days ago, actually. That wasn't a week ago. Feels like a week ago with how crazy life and work have been. But great team here. Defense is looking great. He's on the fast track to making himself back into the playoff after missing.
Yeah, Rain's another one of those guys that, again, not necessarily numbers in front of all the teams that he's beaten, but his only loss is to Louisville. And he's got, you know, win over Kansas State, who's 28th in the MAC. He's got a win over USC, who's 37th in the MAC. He's got a win over Nebraska, who it was ranked at the time. So, I mean, he's got some quality wins in there. You know, he's still got two games left to go, though. So
yep.
We'll see how that plays out.
Go to number 10, Tennessee Volunteers. I'll be honest, I was a little surprised to see them still in this in the top 10. Would not be surprised to see them in the rankings or in the discussion still, but Coach Vegas, great player, top player in this league. Tennessee Volunteers, two losses are by massive, massive point spreads and differentials. Are you surprised to see them still in the hunt here at 9-2, Jason?
No, because yes, he's lost those two games by big amounts, but they're two of the teams that have already been listed. But then he's also got wins over Virginia Tech. He's got a win over Arkansas. He's got a win over Florida and Big Mike. Mm-hmm. He's got a win over a Kentucky team that we've talked about before. Kentucky's 19th in the Massey. They're 4-4 and they're 19th in the Massey, which, you know, we've talked about their losses are ridiculous teams that they've lost to, and they've been close losses. So, you know, you look at his Massey, he's played, not counting Vandy because Vandy's coachless, he'll have four games against top 20 Massey teams, five against top 23. So he's put together a very solid resume.
Yeah, I can appreciate the resume and the Massey ratings. If I'm the committee, I would be a little discouraged that his two best opponents, in my opinion, two biggest games were blowouts. Now, I know his name is Vegas, and I told him, I said, I know why your name is Vegas. It's because you take a lot of risks when you play. So I can imagine those games may have been a little closer than the score seems, because I know when he's maybe down 14, 17 points, he's going to take a lot of risks to try to get back in the game. And sometimes those backfire on you. I think Lick said it great. He doesn't really pay attention to the blowouts or the close games as much. It's more of the full body of work throughout the season. And I think you're right. He does have a great argument, but you wonder if he's not in control of his own destiny here, because you go 10-2 and you have some teams below him who may have some opportunities to bump up in conference championship games, or just maybe add big wins to their resume. So be interesting to follow that story.
I think it's also worth noting too, that both of those losses came on the road, and he beat Arkansas on the road.
We'll move on to number 11.
SEC home field advantage ain't nothing to F with.
It is not. We'll move on to number 11, a guy we've been talking about a lot. He's finally cracked into the rankings here, deservingly so. North Carolina is making me a believer. I have been on the record the past few times. I was not quite a believer yet, but I'm in. I'm in on North Carolina. I think they're going to be that third team out of the ACC. But seeing them crack into the rankings, no surprises here. Anything for you, Jason?
Well, I think making the ACC title game may hurt him. And if he wins out, I mean, he's got a game against Florida State, who doesn't have a coach. He's got a game against Georgia Tech, who is 0-7 on the season. He's got a game against NC State, who is 2-6 on the season. So he should end up 11-1. And that's going to be a situation where Louisville is going to benefit by not making the conference title game if North Carolina loses to Clemson.
Yeah, it'll really make things interesting if North Carolina wins it, because then I think you have three 11-1 teams that all deserve to be in the CFP, and again, could knock someone out like a Tennessee or another team here toward the bottom.
Yeah, a full 180 from last season, where the debate was, does an ACC team deserve to get in at all?
Right. We'll move on to number 12, Kansas State Wildcats. So if you're doing the math here, you're saying, okay, UNC is the 11 seed, and then the 12 seed would not be Kansas State, because that would be our group of five, and we'll get to that. But Kansas State is the first team out currently. Like I said, I think this is a great story of a player who's really turned his game around over the past two seasons, and it's really awesome to see him in the mix here at the end. And the Big 12 as well has got a handful of teams in this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's one of those guys that has kind of quietly gone about his business this year. The only losses are, again, to two playoff teams currently. He's going to finish 10-2 with the Iowa State Sim win. So, you know, if UCF were to lose to Colorado in the conference title game, it very well could move him up into that second spot for the Big 12.
Yep, interesting story to follow. Move on to number 13, Ohio State making a run. Obviously had the second loss to Penn State, but they find themselves in the mix here, number 13, with one game to go, and I'll keep going along here. We got number 14, our only three-loss team in the mix still, but deservingly so, a lot of close losses with the Florida Gators and Big Mike. Be very interested to see how his last three games unfold here. Any comments on just the last two teams that have come up on the board, Jason?
No, I mean, two really good coaches, two really great teams are always going to be in the hunt.
Yep, agreed. Number 15 would be the Iowa Hawkeyes. Again, a lot of people wrote them off at 4-2. They are now sitting at 9-2. It's going to come down to some crazy tiebreakers in the Big Ten to see who actually ends up with that spot in the conference championship game. Again, could hurt them a little bit that if, you know, Shell goes 13-0 and wins that conference, I think the Big Ten turns into a one-bid league unless some other chaos ensues.
I think what hurts Iowa is a loss to at home to Washington.
Yep.
Not to say Dub's a bad coach, but Washington's 5-6. That's one of those games that is probably going to cost him a spot in the playoff, and he's going to look back on that one and wonder what if, because if he wins that one, he's definitely playing in the conference title game. He may still, but he's going into that with only one loss instead of two.
And then our final team, which I would like to mention, they do not rank 16 teams, but this is the group of five top champion as of this block. So I'm going to flip this one over.
Before you do, oh, I just want to say the reaction to this is going to be very fun.
Yep.
In both ways.
Already flipped it. Good call out. No, it is the Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles. So obviously a pretty big change here. Old Dominion is not the current top team. Now it's worth noting that Old Dominion is also in the Sun Belt Conference and that those two teams are almost all but guaranteed a crash course test against each other in the conference championship game. But I'll just get you mentioned already, Jason, your reaction. Are you surprised?
I am, just because, you know, it felt like a given based on conversations and discussions that Old Dominion would be in that spot. But the problem for me, and I think the problem for the committee, is Old Dominion hasn't really beaten anybody. Like his best win is Georgia Southern. And Georgia Southern's a good coach. I played him earlier this season, but five of Old Dominion's wins are against teams in the bottom or 100 or worse in the Massey. And Southern Miss, you know, doesn't necessarily have a marquee win either, but they've played a tougher schedule. And it's hard to differentiate between the two. What I'm curious about is if some of the politicking that has gone on has rubbed committee members the wrong way. And you know, that's not to say that they're going to hold a personal vendetta, but we're all human. And, you know, if I'm looking at two teams that are similar in terms of their resumes, and one of them has given up 55 or 56 fewer points, you know, granted he's played two fewer games, but still, and is scoring more points per game and has played a slightly better schedule, I might go with the one that's a little less abrasive.
So I think there's a couple arguments to be made here. I was, for one, surprised. This kind of feels like something the committee does in real life where all of a sudden a team pops up in here and you're like, Interesting. Are they doing this just to get us to talk about it? Is this to get ratings up, to get the media going, to get Twitter popping off? But I'm actually looking at the two teams' resumes right now, and the strength of schedule is, in my opinion, a negligible difference. The opponent record win percentage 31%, other team 33%. Average Massey teams played, one team's 91, the other team's 88.5. Both teams obviously are undefeated. The one thing that I think separates Old Dominion here is they are 3-0 against Power Four teams. Now you could argue, well, those teams weren't as good as, you know, they thought they were, or, you know, new coaches took over. But Southern Miss has not played a Power Four team. And I do want to give Old Dominion a little credit. I know people will roll their eyes and say, well, you're buddies with them, or you're always been talking highly on Old Dominion. I think it's a negligible difference, and I just don't see why you would bump Old Dominion out of this spot again, other than to get, you know, the more eyes on it, to get people riled up a little bit, to start some conversations. Now, keep in mind, I don't know anybody on the committee other than the leader of the committee, which is Six, but I did have a chance to talk to him on Sunday when he gave this to me, and he wanted me to make sure I conveyed the message that the CFP is not a week by week rankings. It doesn't matter what the rankings were last week necessarily. They are tasked with ranking the teams from scratch every week by week. So he didn't give me reasons why Old Dominion was out or why Southern Miss was in, but he just said that they started this from scratch. Again, of course, I know the rankings last week, excuse me, influence a little bit, but they started from zero, and that was pretty much what the reason behind you seeing Southern Miss in there is that their body of work was a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think one thing that kind of sees, and by the way, I think they were 3-0 against, they had Rutgers, Texas Tech, and Virginia. Did I miss a fourth Power Four school in there?
Nope, it was 3-0 against the Power Four and 9-0
Okay.
against the rest.
When I look at the teams that they've played, you know, Massey ratings one thing, and again, Holme has just done a bang up job with the website. The other thing that stands out to me is the offenses that Old Dominion has faced are really, really bad. Like we're talking 112th, 113th, and one of which what the 113th was one of those Power Four schools. So I think that's really hurt them. 127th, 120th, 106th. And you look at Southern Miss's defensive performance, it's been better. And they've been almost equal in terms of their points output despite playing two fewer games. So I think that is playing a role in this, in that Southern Miss has, you know, for better or for worse, won some games more convincingly, and has put up a better performance in terms of offense and defensive output against a similar schedule in terms of strength. Again, the great thing about this is they're in two different divisions in the Sun Belt. They're going to face on the field. It's going to get decided there. So it won't
Yeah.
come down to a committee at that point.
Agreed. And I can't imagine that Marion's probably not going to be super pissed off. I mean, maybe they lit a fire under him a little bit, and that's a little extra motivation going forward here. But at the end of the day, I think both coaches respect each other and know that this is going to be a game that's crazy, going to draw tons of viewership in the league for a Sun Belt Conference championship game, because it's gonna most likely decide that last spot unless one of them slip up here before the end of it and
And meanwhile, yeah,
opens the door for another.
and Sam Houston State sitting over there like, hey, what about me? I mean, this is just a
Yeah.
terrible season for him to be undefeated because he's looking at another conference where you've got two undefeated teams and they're going to play each other, which is going to give them a signature win in the conference title game.
I was going to say his only hope is if Southern Miss falls before this conference title matchup, and then Southern Miss wins the conference championship, knocks off Old Dominion, and then both of those two teams have one loss, giving Sam Houston State a door that maybe opens there. But yeah, it's going to be a cool storyline to follow. I actually would be interested in next week talking about what a group of five playoff would look like if we were to have something like that, as well as an NIT kind of bracket. I know Andy was talking about that in the chat of like, what would a NIT bracket look like aside from the playoff? And if guys wanted to roll with something like that just for fun, I think that would be kind of a cool thing to see happen in the league. Of course, in addition to the normal bowl games that we'll all see happen as well.
Yeah, and you know, one other guy to keep in mind too is Central Michigan and Fired Up Chip sitting at 8-1, pretty much has no shot again because you're looking at potential of three undefeated teams heading into conference championships.
Yep, exactly. A guy again that we don't talk about nearly enough and should, but I pulled up the bracket, so now that we can all see the matchups, the hypotheticals. I probably do have to call it here a little short in a few minutes, but I do want to go through these matchups here. So again, Oklahoma 1, you got Colorado 2, Clemson 3, Oregon 4 in the bye lines, and then you see the matchups. You got Notre Dame, UCF. That could be just an amazing game. Notre Dame has an amazing run defense in this game, and guess what? UCF runs. So that's an interesting one to look at. Georgia Southern Miss. I feel bad for whoever gets that 12 spot because you know it's either going to be LSU, Oklahoma, or Georgia in that 5 spot, and it's going to be a rough day for whoever has to play that road game. LSU North Carolina intrigues me. I know North Carolina took Oklahoma to the wire in the cup, has had a couple other massive wins, beat Tennessee in the cup, so we can see that North Carolina can hang with SEC teams. So that's a great one. And then Louisville, Tennessee, I think as well, flip a coin there. So anything you're seeing out of these matchups, Jason, that you want to call out or that you want to talk about while we have them up?
Yeah, I mean, imagine being that group of five team and your reward is to play one of the, you know, probably five best teams in the entire or six best teams in the entire league. The Tennessee Louisville game would be a very fun matchup and probably the only one that I think would actually really be close in that first round. Not a knock against North Carolina, not a knock against UCF, but I think those are just really bad matchups for what the weaknesses are on those two teams.
Well, I know UCF doesn't have a great home field advantage. I know that because I played with them in season 29, but it's not bad. And I think with them, if they were to get that home game, that would give them a shot. Again, like I said, Notre Dame's run defense is crazy good in this game, and that just would not be a great matchup. I think you'd have to see them really mix it up and change some things to give themselves a chance. But I agree with you. I think the Louisville, Tennessee game is probably the best one. And then you look at a matchup like a Louisville, Colorado in the second round or a Tennessee, Colorado. Feel bad for Colorado because Louisville, I think, just took it to him in the cup. And then, you know, I think Tennessee would also probably have a pretty good opportunity to win that game as well. Same with Clemson. Hey, it's like, I know this is going to change, but, you know, Clemson in that spot would probably get Oklahoma or LSU or Georgia in that second round, whoever that SEC team is, maybe that gets bumped back. What's your reward for winning the ACC and getting a bye? The second best team in the SEC. That's probably not a fun scenario. And then same with Oregon too. I mean, this is a stacked playoff as it stands right now, and it could change, and it will probably change a little bit. But man, this is the league really truly leveling off and evening out now that we're in our third season.
Jiggy moving to the SEC changed things. It really did because, you know, it's one thing to be at Kansas and be dominating to go into the SEC and now raise everybody else's game because everybody's got to go all out every game to keep up with him. It just makes the SEC so much more difficult. And I think the other aspect of this that you look at with a lot of these guys, you know, you look at multiple quarterbacks in this group have field general. And, you know, we don't talk about attributes enough. Imagine trying to beat one of these guys and you can't blitz because every time you blitz, if you're behind schedule or the offense is on schedule, they're going to know where the blitz is coming from. Like it just makes it so much more difficult to beat some of these teams, especially at Colorado, when you've got one hand tied behind your back on defense. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, the lines, offensive line, defensive line is where this game is won a lot of times. And you look at the Oregon offensive line, you look at the Georgia defensive line, you look at the Tennessee defensive line. There are just so many playmakers that you have to account for every single play. You can draw up a great play, but you know, Tennessee's freak defensive end blows up half your line, you're running for your life. You're getting amazing games between amazing coaches who have playmakers all over the field. And this year, I think, is the first year where you've got some of the best coaches in the league working with some of the best teams in the league. And you've got multiple guys that are in their second season. And we've talked so many times about guys stepping their game up with these teams when they're in year two and they know the nuances. They know, you know, this guy can do this in this situation. This guy is a weakness. I need to get him out. And these guys are masters when you watch them at making formation subs, personnel subs, and understanding where to have guys to be most impactful in these big games.
Yeah, I've kept an eye on some of these guys down the stretch watching their games just to try to pick a thing or two and learn a thing or two. And Vegas is a guy who I've sat down with for, you know, 15, 20 minutes just learning some defensive things during the day, like on my lunch break. But I didn't realize you could just sub out one player. I always did the package subs where like D-line sub, LB rush, like that sort of stuff. And then started watching more closely and really realized like, oh, wow, I can sub out one linebacker at a time or move this linebacker into pass rush because like that's his ability or that's his calling card, if you will. Or I can put a strong safety in at the weak side linebacker to play better coverage. So it's just very interesting, you know, the things that you pick up as you watch some of these top tier guys play. And not, I will never be a top tier guy. I hope to catch fire one day and be in the conversation like I was this year. But it is really cool the things that you can learn as you watch these guys play, which is interesting. So.
And for me, that goes back to what I mentioned earlier about some of these guys playing Madden for years. That stuff becomes muscle memory. Like I still have to remind myself on option plays. Okay. Before the snap. Okay. Don't touch X unless you want to pull the ball. And then two out of every five, I hit X when I don't mean to pull the ball because it's muscle memory of X is to hand off on the option. You know, I try to do these things. I tried to do a personnel sub one time, got to delay a game. And it wasn't one of those plays where it's after a switch of possession, you got a shortened clock. I just gave up trying to do that stuff because I can't do it. These guys, it's muscle memory. And that's where I think they have that extra edge that some of us just don't have. And some of us don't care to learn it because we just know it's a waste of time, like myself. Some of us are trying to and just haven't gotten there to where it's muscle memory yet. These guys have it locked in. And when you watch them, just especially a guy like Jiggy just blow through their menus pre-snap and do all these different things. You're just like, okay, they're on another level.
I was going to say, like, even if you could get there someday, it's probably going to take years unless you can play as much as possible. Like, you know, I know some guys have put in tons of hours to be able to do that, but I'm with you. Like, I would love to learn it. I wish I had the time. You know, I think get better as time goes along, but yeah, it is mind blowing how the brain can work that fast for some of these guys. I do want to just kind of call out a couple other things here. Like I said, I probably only got about 5 minutes before I got to run, but I'm just looking through the conference standings and the races, and man, some of these conference championship games or potential conference championship games are going to be really fun. You know, I'll start with the American Athletic. I talk about them a lot. A 9-1 Tulane versus a 9-1 Eastern Carolina right now. Obviously, they each have two more games to play, but that would be a really fun conference championship game. We talk about the playoff ad nauseum, right? Like we're always talking about the seeding and the top dogs. These are two top coaches, in my opinion, who just happen to be at some smaller conference teams right now. But man, that should be an awesome game if that's what it ends up being. I know Tulsa is still in the mix there at 4-1, but really looking forward to a game like that.
Yeah, and Tulsa's 5-4 overall in the season, so I just don't see him getting there. And even if they did, I don't know that they'd be able to. He'd be able to topple either one of these guys.
Yeah, he had a close loss, a couple close losses, and I know he's played some bigger teams, some power four teams as well. We talked about the MAC last time. The Mountain West is intriguing as well. I think you're really down to two teams in San Diego State and Boise State. Fresno still in the mix, having a great season at 8-3, but they do have the two conference losses compared to the zero and the one that San Diego State has. That'll be a fun game to keep an eye on. And then we talked about it quite a bit already, the Sun Belt Conference Championship game. I think that's pretty much a done deal for those two, and it's just a matter of will they both get their undefeated. I think they will. So.
Yeah, I mean, Old Dominion's already clinched a spot at 7-0, so there's no way that they can lose it because they would have the tiebreaker over Georgia Southern on that side. And then Southern Miss, you know, just got to win out and he's in.
Yeah. A couple other things I'm seeing, you know, obviously there's some of these smaller conferences, you know, with guys that have a lot less games in. Obviously, I know we got some new coaches coming in here trying to catch up. Shout out to Knowles 26 at Virginia. I think he took over a 0-1 team or maybe 0-2 at most, and has pretty much got that schedule completely caught up going into the last block in the matter of a week. Yeah, 1-9, tough season, but I have seen a lot of close games on there. And oh crap, look at that opponent record, 80-38. That's got to be amongst some of the top in the league. Obviously, Old Dominion and Clemson, teams like that kind of bump that up, but that is a insane strength of schedule that Virginia stepped into. I think the only one in the league that may have a better one is Purdue. I think they have 83 wins is their opponent record, which is just, again, an insane number. That means on average their opponents are winning what, 8-9 games on their schedule. So yeah, pretty remarkable to see something like that.
Yeah, and the only one of the losses that he's got was only a 7-point loss at Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah, played a very
now it
close
looks
game.
Like they put up. It looks like they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to kind of make that close. But still, to make that comeback is impressive.
Yep, for sure. Well, like I said, I'm running up against the clock. I do have some personal stuff to take care of this evening, but just kind of wanted to put a loop on everything. Jason, is there any kind of final words or things that you want to say before we wrap up today?
No, get your games in, don't come down to Sims, and let's finish the season out strong. A lot of fun races still to be decided.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and I hope everyone enjoys it. I have myself said it at times, and I've heard other people say, hey, we're kind of dragging along, and we're getting down to the end here, but I do think that this playoff and some fun things coming up will really re-energize and revitalize things. Sounds, again, like all signs point to a season 4. I know that decision has not been officially made yet, but excited to keep playing this game, man. It's been awesome having it back, first year back in 10 years. Super happy the NDL is thriving like it is. A lot of new coaches coming in and learning. So, like Jason said, get your games in, have some fun, be kind to each other, and we'll see how this all shakes out in the past couple of weeks. And that will do it for our show today. So, thanks for joining, everybody.